Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for your word that is life. Thank you so much that we can read these words, Father, and what great verses we have before us. Verses that we should have in our memory banks to fix our eyes on Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and giving us your word that you haven't left us without any access to you. Thank you so much for your spirit as well. And I just ask for the help of your spirit now as I speak, to be at work in all of our hearts, in all of our minds, taking your truth and moving it beyond just logical thought and moving it into our hearts and changing our lives, that we may live in a way that honors and glorifies you. Thank you for your goodness to us, and we just ask for your blessing upon this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a really well-known passage, and I hope it is, and I hope it's a passage that you have got in your memory. Tonight we're going to be looking at this passage verse by verse in three stages, looking at our race, our inspiration, and our motivation. So firstly, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, and we'll just pause there for a second. And it was wonderful that Trevor read a bit of the background before this. Every time you see a therefore in God's word, you need to think, okay, what's led to this point? What has been said beforehand till we get to this therefore? So previously, the author of Hebrews has given specific examples of people who have lived out the definition of faith in chapter 11, verse 1. And these were a people who looked forward to a city designed by God, designed and built by God. They were people who longed for a heavenly country, a people who God was not ashamed to be their God, a people who persevered in their faith, and they're commended for their faith. And we also see the incredible works of God throughout history, showing himself to be a faithful God. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us. So being a sporty person, I love the imagery that Paul uses when he uses sport imagery. And so we have the imagery here of an athletic contest, something that us Christians are part of. And as competitors, we can look to the people who've gone before us as witnesses of God's faithfulness. They are people that we can look to as examples of the nature and possibilities of faith in Christ. And also notice this term, let us. It's used several times in this passage, let us. Notice this term is used, and this is a race for all Christians. Let us. This is something we as Christians do together. And as we think about Christians in general, we have some wonderful company who've run before us and who we're running with. We think about the apostles, we think about the reformers, the Puritans, the missionaries, the many millions of faithful Christians throughout all this time. We are all in this race together. And brothers and sisters, we can't do this alone. We need each other. We need to meet together. We need to read our Bibles. We need to do our one-on-one catch-ups. We're all involved in this race together. And we can be encouraged by those who have gone before, and we can encourage one another as we continue on this race. So as we enter this race, we see two things that we need to do to run well. Like any athlete who prepares for any race, they want to compete so they can finish. And not only finish, but finish well. So as Christians, we need to prepare ourselves for our race of faith, to give ourselves the best opportunity to finish and to finish well. So what does this preparation look like? Well, firstly, we need to throw off everything that hinders. So what are some of these things? What could hinder our spiritual race? Well, one thing that could hinder us, and it was mentioned this morning, is this innate desire in us to earn our salvation. You know, sometimes we fall into the trap that we think we can earn our salvation by doing all these good things. And it can even get to the point where we think God actually owes us because of the good stuff we're doing. However, if we think salvation is on us and our efforts, that's an incredibly heavy burden to bear. Another thing is the focus and pursuit of temporal things over eternal things. That is, we prioritize time and effort and money into things that won't last. Now, a big thing these days is fitness. or our looks. Maybe it could be studies, our relationships, careers. And we prioritize this over relationship with God. And what can be hard is that some of these things are good things. It's good to work hard. It's good to have a career. It's great to have healthy relationships. But sometimes these come at the cost of our relationship with God. Distractions in our world will also hinder our race. Social media, news feeds, movies, magazines, YouTube. These can take our eyes off of God. And even though they provide a great benefit for this world, they're also greatly harming us. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to, I have this all the time, praying or reading the Bible, and then your phone goes off. And you're, I can't really focus now until I know you send me that message or someone's calling me. It's one of the reasons actually why I'll always use a Bible. I won't have the Bible on my phone or a smart device because you know once a message comes up, you're going to be distracted. And another hindrance can be our circumstances. We live in a world that suffers from the effects of sin. We live in a world of sinful people, and there will always be circumstances that will hinder our race. However, at some point we need to run. At some point we need to stick our head down and continue to move forward. We can't make excuses before Jesus. Think of the disciples. There were some people following Jesus. He's doing all these wonderful things. They say, I'll follow you, but just let me bury my dad. I'll follow you, but I just got to do this thing first. And Jesus says, no, I'm more important. Don't let our circumstances hinder us from following Jesus. And these things can be really hard to cast off. This morning I like to go for drives in the morning with Piper so Maddie can have a little sleep in. And I just go down to the beach and just look at the waves and I'll just have some time with God there. And this morning it was raining, pretty heavy, but there were still so many people out running, just trying to get fit, trying to keep their fitness up. So as Christians, we need to make sacrifices that give us the best opportunity to finish. And we have to ask some serious questions about our faith if we're not willing to throw off hindrances that stop us from following Jesus. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. We cannot win if we are weighted. The pace will have to be very swift, and we cannot get to it or keep it up if we have weights to carry. Unloaded, we shall find the race taxing all our powers, but weighted, we shall be doomed to failure. So that's the first thing we need to do to prepare. Throw off everything that hinders. Secondly, let us throw off the sin that easily entangles. There was one time I was boogie boarding down in Albany, just catching some waves. And as you do when you generally finish up, you ride the wave right onto the beach just so you can get out. And what had happened was, I'm not sure if you've seen this before, but the board got sucked onto the sand because of the moisture and the air was gone. I was trying to pull it up. And as I was trying to pull it up, another wave came and knocked me over. And the cord that was attached to my wrist got stuck around my leg. And for about 10 minutes, I was stuck in this spot trying to get out. I couldn't move because I kept falling over. And this is the imagery we have here of sin easily entangling us. How can we have any hope of running if sin is so entangled in our life? And it easily entangles. If you have any insight into your sin, you must agree with this. And it's very deadly to our faith. It's very deadly to our race if we tolerate sin in our life. You know, the mark of a Christian is not one who doesn't ever sin, but one who hates sin in their life and seeks to throw it off. This imagery of having sin in our life is like a garment that we throw off, and we always choose clothes to put on. It's like choosing to allow sin in your life. And the Christian seeks to do what they can to not allow sin to entangle themselves and jeopardize their race. So is there sin in your life that you tolerate? Now, sometimes we can wonder why we're struggling in our faith. Sometimes we can wonder why we're struggling in our relationship with God, and yet we fail to see it's because there's some sin that we want to hang on to. And really we're saying we love our sin more than God. Now, as Christians, as believers, we're able to throw off this sin. Romans 6 teaches us that we're no longer slaves to sin. It doesn't rule over us. Before we came to love Jesus and accept what he's done for us and trust him, we were bound by chains that we could not break. We were bound by chains that we were just locked up in. But as Christians, we've been freed from this slavery. But what happens though, because of our sinful nature, it's like we choose to hang on to these chains. We're free from them, but we're choosing to hang on. And the challenge is letting go challenges the very core of our being because of our sinful nature. We want to rationalize hanging on to it. We can think that the cost is too great if I let go of this sin. I remember having every excuse to hang on to a smartphone because of its practical uses, even though it was an easy pathway for me to indulge in lust. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was not crucified so we can continue to live in sin. And we have God's Spirit in us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us and empowers us to let go of these chains of sin. Again, Charles Spurgeon has some great thoughts regarding this. Our original sin, our natural tendencies, our constitutional infirmities, these must be laid aside as garments unsuitable for men and women who are running the heavenly race. We cannot win heaven and wear sin. We cannot win heaven and wear sin. So the preparation for our race is twofold. Throw off all that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. And then we see the end of verse 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is going to be a tough race. The people have gone before us, as we've seen in chapter 11, testify to how tough this race can be. It's going to ask a lot of us. It's going to be taxing. It's going to be demanding. But we are to persevere. And more so, we're to persevere in our own lane. For each of us, God has a life marked out for us, a lane marked out for us to run. And each lane will be different from the other. Each one will have different trials and challenges. Each one will have its own joys and triumphs. But whatever we are faced with, we're to move forward one step at a time. Now the danger is, as you're running, is looking to the side. Looking to the side. There's these people here going through this, they don't really have that challenging course. You know, we have this sort of culture of comparison, especially through social media. One of the leading influences of depression in youth is Instagram. They look at all these beautiful people having these amazing lives and they think that's what life is meant to be like. You know, they're looking at this as they're in their lounge room. They think, what is my life compared to that? You know, we too easily look at the lanes beside us. We compare and we complain and we whine. But we can't move forward. We'll never stay our course if we're constantly looking at everyone else. And we don't focus on the life God has given us. And this is the beauty and power of the gospel. No matter what we've done or what's been done to us, gospel allows us to accept it. God's grace allows us to accept it. The reality of the challenges before us make us move into God. We need Him. We need His grace. We need His love. And we can move forward and we can use this life that God's given us for His glory. Only God can transform our tragedy into triumph. And I know this to be true because only God turned the instrument of torture into a symbol of hope. So in our Christian life, we're to throw off all that hinders, the sin that easily entangles, and we're to run with perseverance the race God has allowed us to have. But we need something to inspire us. Why should we be bothered? What do we focus on to inspire us? Well, let's read next verse. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now one person says, a good inspiration brings with it a wave of energy that by itself can propel you over the finish line. Conversely, when we are devoid of inspiration, everything can seem difficult, tedious, and boring, and we get no joy out of what we are doing. Inspiration is so important because it keeps the mind positive and focused on the bigger picture. And for us as Christians, brothers and sisters, Jesus is our inspiration. He is the greatest, most precious, most glorious inspiration any of us could ever have. And let no one take this from you. We are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. not on John Calvin, not on Martin Luther, not on Ian, not on me, not on the apostles Peter, Paul, or John. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who inspires us to throw up all that hinders. He's the one who inspires us to throw up the sin that easily entangles because of what he lost for us. He gave his life for us. So what little a cost it is to throw off these things that hinder our race. He is the one we look to rather than things of the world, rather than our own selfish desires and pursuits, rather than our circumstances. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the one who has finished the race and already won the victory. You know, when you fix your eyes on something, you can't look at another thing from that. Every time you look somewhere else and you focus on something, your eyes are focused on that. So you can't fix your eyes on Jesus and then have something on the side that you want to look at as well. You fix your eyes on Jesus. He is our focus and he is our inspiration. So when we look to Jesus, what do we see? Why does he inspire us? In literally every single superhero movie that's been released, the storyline is like this. A person has troubles in their life and they have some hidden power. You know, they enter some conflict. This hidden power is released and then they triumph. That's pretty much the plot for every single superhero movie. Now we can watch these movies and feel a sense of inspiration. We love that. We love how people overcome great tragedy. You know, we can be inspired by other people in the world who've done this. And it shows a desire in every single human being for this type of hero, for someone who can overcome great obstacles. And yet so often we fail to look at Jesus, even as Christians. No one in history, no movie character, no fairy tale can compare to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we look and fix our eyes on Jesus, we see the author and perfecter of our faith. Now some versions have the pioneer and finisher. So either way, it's saying he has run before us. He's lived the life of faith perfectly as God created mankind to live. And it also means we look to him as the only way to God. He's the one who ran ahead. He's the one who's won. But how did he do this? We see that he endured the cross. Despite living perfectly, despite being sinless, he suffered on the cross and died for humankind. He bore our sins and the punishment we deserve, and he won the victory. This is an amazing act of love and grace. But why did he do it? For the joy set before him. And what is this joy? This joy of triumphing and conquering Satan and evil. The joy of providing salvation for a helpless man. The joy of providing mankind a way to have a relationship with God. The joy of being with God in eternity at his right hand, with everything under his feet. This is why he could scorn his shame. The shame that came with being crucified and dying in our place. It's why he could despise the shame, for the shame he bore was of no consequence to the joy that was ahead of him. And how do we know he's won? We know he won because he rose from the dead. It proves that what he did was effective. It means that our sins can be forgiven. It means that they are paid for. It means we can have new life in him because he conquered death. We know he won because he now sits at God's right hand. So for our inspiration in this race, we continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is our inspiration. But not only do we need to be inspired, we need to be motivated for this race. So let's look at verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We are told to consider Jesus and to think about what he endured. And to consider here means to weigh up carefully what Christ went through. Consider what he endured when we are facing trials of our own. And as Christians, we're going to have trials, whether it's wrestling sin or the circumstances that we're going through that are tough. So we consider Jesus because he will motivate us when we're weary and losing heart. You know, preferably we will do this before we start losing heart, losing faith, finding faith hard, when we're getting before we get distracted by all these things. But as sinners, these will happen. So what is it that we consider about Jesus? Think about what he endured at the hands of sinful men. Being betrayed by a close friend. Being slandered. Being blindfolded. Being spat upon. Being punched in the head. Being whipped. Having a crown of thorns thrust upon his head. Having all his closest friends abandon him in his hour of need. And then being punished in the place of a murderer. He had nails put through his hands and his feet, and he was crucified. He was punished for our sin, and he was separated from the Father, his heavenly Father, who he had known for all eternity. And he bore the wrath of God in a matter of hours when it would have taken us an eternity. But there's more to consider when we look to Christ. Consider that through him, we have adoption into God's family. It is in Christ we have all that he won on the cross. Forgiveness of sins, eternal inheritance and life, a relationship with God as Father, and we have new life in him. Consider that he is our Savior and our Lord. He saved us from the consequences of our sin. And now we follow him as Lord. We do what he says. We follow his example of living. And we learn this by reading his word and praying. In Hebrews 7, we are to consider that he represents us and intercedes for us in heaven before God. And in Hebrews 4, we're told that he relates to our every weakness with all the trials we face. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we have a Savior who relates to every situation, every struggle, and every trial we face on earth. And it's in him we find grace and mercy in our time of need. This really became true for me when I had some big family disputes. And I was searching God's word, you know, trying to seek refuge in him. And I remember this verse being in my mind. I was like, how can Jesus relate to this? And then I realized I won't have to die on the cross for the sins of the world. You know, I was kind of in a self-pity party. So I was like, you know, God, Jesus has never been through this. No one else is going through. You know, I was looking at other people's lives. No one else has any troubles in their life. I realized, yes, I will never have to go through what he's gone. And then I remembered he was separated from God on the cross. His Father could not bear to face him. Brothers and sisters, in our life, in our race that we have, we're to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who inspires us. He's the one who motivates us. He's the one who motivates us and inspires us to throw off our hindrances, to throw off our sin that entangles, and to run with perseverance. So when we meet together, as we run together, let's continue to point each other to Christ. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Father, for these wonderful words. Please help us in this life that you've given us. It can be hard when we're wrestling with sin, when we've got these different trials in our life, to fix our eyes on Jesus, Father. But help us through your word to hold on to this truth. Help us through your word to search your word, to think about the life Jesus lived and what he's done for us. Guide us by your spirit to help us understand and know that we have a high priest in heaven, a Lord and a Savior who relates to all our weaknesses, who knows what it's like to be human on this earth. Help us in our walk. Help us to encourage each other in this because we need each other. But more importantly, we continue to need you. We know we can't do this perfectly, Father. We know we struggle with sin and we need your grace and love. Thank you so much for your spirit and thank you so much that we have Jesus who's gone before us and won the victory. And as we look forward and think about in 1,000 years time, these things that we've thrown off and the sin that we've thrown off won't feel like a loss at all. Because we'll be celebrating with you. I just pray for all of us, Father, for each of us here. We have different circumstances that we've got to face, different trials, different temptations. I just pray that you help us through your word and through your spirit know what we need to do. Help us in this, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.